Got a Black Cat on My Tail. Written by Black Cat and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship John Antilles / Rex. This is tagged Alternate Universe Urban Fantasy, Alternate Universe Modern Setting, Humor, and Fluff. I'm going insane, Rex groans, face down on the table. Fives looks mostly amused, but he makes a vague attempt at sympathetic, too, which Rex appreciates. Yeah, no, understandable. He hasn't stopped in an hour. He hasn't stopped in days, Rex mutters, and sighs as Captain's barking ratchets up an octave, taking on the particular frantic tone that means the cat is likely on its way back up the street. Rex is a little surprised the shepherd hasn't lost his voice yet. God knows Rex has pretty much lost his hearing. A full week of the stray cat Rex fed throwing wards up over his house and driving his familiar insane is enough to make him wish for earplugs with every fraction of his being. Fives snickers, ruining whatever illusion of sympathy he'd managed to put on. Well, he says, as an official representative of the Office of Familiar Welfare, I think I can safely say that it's your familiar torturing you and not you torturing your familiar in this case. No fines required. I won't even write you up. Thanks, Rex says, perfectly flat. Fives grins, then fishes around in what he calls a hip pouch and what is actually a fanny pack, pulling out a card that looks like it's seen better days. Here, he says, waving it under Rex's nose. Rex takes it, and it's not the ticket he had thought it would be. Apparently, Fives has that much familial loyalty left. There's a spreading coffee stain, a smear of what might be dried blood, but underneath both of those, Rex can kind of make out a smudged name and mostly intact address. Is this your blood? He asks, more resigned than anything. Does Luke know you've been bleeding all over your fanny pack? Fives flushes dull red all the way to the tips of his ears and makes to snatch the card back. It's a hip pouch, he says loudly, and Luke is fine. Rex raises one judgmental brow, holding the card safely out of reach. I know the most powerful sorcerer in the city is fine. I was asking if he knew that, Fives says, with all the dignity he doesn't have, is for a hedge witch who should be able to help get the wards off, and maybe lay some new ones that will keep the cat away. There are wards that can keep cats away, Rex asks doubtfully, but he commits the address to memory, then hands the card back. If there are, he knows them, Fives says with a shrug. Then he pauses and says carefully, I know you're not like Fox, but, don't call him a zombie and try to lay him to rest when you see him. He gets really depressed, and he's the only hedge witch that works with the office, okay? Rex isn't surprised that Fox's default social interaction was to call someone a zombie and attempt a magical ritual on them. Fox isn't the social genius of the family, by a long shot. He grimaces, rubbing a hand over his buzzed hair, and gives Fives a wary look. The hedge witch didn't curse our whole family to unending bad luck because of that, did he? Fives rolls his eyes. I wouldn't be dating Luke if he had, he points out, which Rex supposes is fair. He waves a hand in acceptance of the argument, then grabs Fives' hand before Fives can pat him on the head. Out, he orders sternly. It would probably be a lot more effective if he hadn't been the one to raise both Fives and Echo from the time they were in diapers. As it is, Fives smirks at him, then leans in and bangs their foreheads together with entirely more force than is necessary. I'm going. Stop making the neighbors call OFW on you. Captain's barks rise to an almost glass-rattling pitch, and Rex winces. Rex says. on the sidewalk, completely wrapped up in a deep green cloak like he was just pried out of a fairy tale, Fives' pet hedgewitch surveys him from under his hood, his gaze sliding from Rex to the fist Rex has raised to knock. There's a long moment as they stare at each other, and Rex very definitely doesn't try any necromancy on the man, because he has more tact in his pinky than Fox has in his whole body. And then the hedgewitch clears his throat and asks, "Is this about that imprint?" "Well, that's a good sign, probably." "Yes," Rex says with some relief. "I fed a stray cat, and now it keeps warding my house, but my familiar is a dog and thinks it's a threat. Fives told me you could probably help." He steps back on the neat front stoop, trying not to crowd the pots full of extravagantly blooming flowers and trees bearing fruit out of season that practically drown the front yard. The riot of greenery alone made him sure from the street that he had a hedgewitch's house, but he hadn't expected the hedgewitch himself. The man sets a basket full of what looks like tree cuttings down on a stone lantern, then climbs the steps. Rex can feel the wash of warmth as the wards recognize him, the gentle settling as he steps up to the door. It opens under his hand without a key, swinging wide, and the man says softly, "Be welcome." That's the most polite invitation Rex has gotten in a long time. Then again, his last invitation to anywhere with a threshold was Cody's, "Get in here, loser," when he'd called Rex over to his new apartment to help him schlep furniture all day. It's possible Rex should expand his social circle beyond his brothers, honestly. "Thank you," he says, and follows the hedgewitch in. It's a small, neat cottage full of plants and light, and something in Rex's chest unspools just breathing in the clean herb smell. He tries not to stare like an idiot, even if actual hedgewitches are a rare thing, and tucks his hands into his jacket pockets, deciding to watch his host instead. "And thanks for seeing me. I'm sorry I didn't call first." "I don't have a phone," the hedgewitch says, faintly bemused, and heads down the hall and out into a sunlit living room with a well-worn, comfortable-looking couch, trailing leaves behind him. He's still wearing his boots, too, and Rex raises a brow, following him. That's a little weird, he thinks. The hedgewitch crouches down in front of the couch, carefully, deliberately unwrapping his voluminous cloak, which is not a cloak at all, now that Rex is looking more closely. It's a blanket, the same color as the coat underneath, and faded green-brown that would disappear completely in a forest. As it opens, mewling rises, kicks up in a furious rush, and a tangle of truly tiny kittens spill out onto the cushions, twisting and squirming. "Oh," Rex manages, and can't quite resist the urge to take a few steps closer. He loves cats, which is one of the reasons he's in this whole mess to begin with, and these ones are particularly adorable. Incredibly small, dirty, but clearly all sporting some healthy lungs as they clamber back towards the hedgewitch. He smiles a little, swinging the blanket all the way down, and when he goes to pile it on the cushions, Rex catches one edge and helps him arrange it. "Strays?" he asks in concern. "They're so small." The hedgewitch nods. "I found them near one of the groves I'm tending," he says, and pushes the hood of his patch jacket back, looking up at Rex with a faintly crooked smile. "Someone must have abandoned them, but I think they'll make it." "Sure sounds like it," Rex says ruefully, because they're still yelling as they explore. He reaches down, smoothing his fingertips over the downy orange fur of the closest one, and smiles. "Going to find them homes?" The man tips one shoulder, rising to his feet and stripping his coat off. "If they're meant to go elsewhere, they will," he says. "You're Officer Fett's brother." "Officer Fett," Rex repeats, faintly pained. He means Fives. Rex knows he means Fives. But just 2 weeks ago, Luke and Fives got into an argument, and Fives burrowed himself into Rex's couch to watch sappy rom-coms and drown himself in ice cream and tissues as he monologued to Rex about the dastardly illusion of true love. Fives really is an authority figure. Rex knows that. But still. The hedgewitch takes one look at his face and ducks his head, pressing the back of his hand to his mouth to hide his humor. "Fives," he clarifies, and it's a gesture made solely for Rex's sanity, but he can still appreciate it. He can appreciate the smile the man is trying to hide, too, but that's probably not what he should be focusing on right now. I'm Rex, he says. Thanks for keeping an eye on him, and putting up with Fox. The hedge witch winces, but goes to hang up his jacket and pulls his boots off. I can take your coat, he says. I'm John Antilles. Nice to meet you. Rex hesitates, not sure if he should, then decides he'd rather be weird than rude, and kicks off his boots as well, following John back through the living room. You can see the imprint. John nods, opening a pair of glass doors to let in the warm breeze. Rex had noticed, when he came up the walk, that the whole property was about 20 degrees warmer than the surrounding city, but it's even more noticeable now. Only just. Whatever made it was subtle. A cat, Rex says with a sigh, but I already have a familiar, and he doesn't like having wards tossed at his face every time the cat wanders past. John snorts quietly. Cats rarely take no for an answer, he says, turning his head, and Rex very determinedly doesn't look at the way long strands of black hair drag across his throat, curl in his collar. And the louder someone tells them, the less they take it, especially if the one telling them is a dog. I've noticed. No one sulks like a shepherd, Rex says. He glances back at the kittens, but they seem to be settling down, and none of them are trying to climb over the blanket so far. Fives said you might know wards to keep it away. Nothing can keep a cat out of where it wants to be, John says, bemused, and whistles out across the lush garden. But I may be able to convince it to leave. I'll take it, Rex says with relief. My neighbors have reported me 3 times already for abusing Captain. John winces. Let me ask my familiar to watch the kittens and I'll come over, he says, just as there's a rustle in the currant bushes near the path. Sweetheart, over here. There's another rustle, a wrench of branches, and a skinny black cat comes bolting out of the greenery. It's lanky and rough-looking and missing half of one ear, and it is, unfortunately, immensely familiar. Rex's mouth drops open, and he splutters. You! The cat gives him one look out of wide, lantern-yellow eyes, then sits down and yowls. It sounds immensely pleased with itself. John blinks slowly, looking from his familiar to Rex and back again. Oh, he says after a long moment, and raises a hand again, trying in vain to hide his smile. It wasn't a stray, I assume. Sweetheart, what exactly were you trying to do? Sweetheart chirps, entirely smug. Rex stares at the cat, then closes his eyes, pinches the bridge of his nose, and sighs. He smells a plot, and given that it's a cat cooking it up, not one he's going to escape anytime soon. The end. So I fall in love just a little old.